This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Just like that. Second half of the show is here. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone, with Paul Kuharski in Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. David Reed is the chairman of the board, wearing the Edley's Barbecue hat in Nashville. Chad Withrow back with us on Tuesday. Hope everyone listening is going to have a great long weekend with Memorial Day on Monday. We have the big golf challenge with Tiger and Peyton against Phil and Brady. That's coming up on Sunday. So looking forward to that. Justin Thomas is going to be one of the on-course reporters on TNT, so you can check that out on Sunday. Last night, the Midday Mixer presented by Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery was excellent. It was the top one we've had thus far. We have one more left during this time from broadcasting from home. It is a week from yesterday, next Thursday night. If you'd like to be a part of it, DM us at Midday 180 on Twitter. You could sign up on Facebook as well through the page. You can also DM us through Instagram, and we'll tell you how to go about getting on our Zoom broadcast, the private broadcast, the off-the-record chat with the Midday 180. It'll be next Thursday night, presented by Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery.
It's a gift to you, really, that we offer excitedly, and we want you in there. So slide up in those DMs, be ahead of the curve, avoid the late rush, and we'll make it happen. It'll be a lot of fun.
Maybe Reed will join us for the final one. He's only been in one so far. Do we go all out? Like, do we have Kirby in for a 10-minute chat? Do we have Reed? Do we have, I mean, if we could have Ryan A. Mudd, we would.
You got to say that Mudd is in high demand.
Every week someone's asking about him. Like, can we have Ryan Mudd? And no, we can't because he's on furlough.
It's a big disappointment.
I know.
And Mudd's generally a big disappointment. I don't know if he would perform in that room.
Mudd always brings it. He's always Ryan A. Mudd. Are you kidding me? It's the best.
I'm shaking my head. People can't hear me. Just the idea of him life coaching. Godspeed to all of you who have signed up with him. I would want somebody to sign up with him as a social experiment and then report back to us as a spy.
Let's do a social experiment through Twitter right now. We have Dr. Bill Schaffner coming up in 10 minutes. Paul and I are locked and loaded for a segment of questions, and we always designate the second segment for your questions using hashtag Dr. Bill. If you want your question answered by a world-renowned infectious disease expert as we go into phase two of the reopening of the state and the city of Nashville, use the hashtag DRBill on Twitter, and we'll ask those questions. Right now, we only have two listener questions. Look, I understand it. We've been at this now for over 2 months with Dr. Schaffner. Chances are, if you had a question a month ago, it's the same answer right now, but maybe not. And you can have your question answers as we go back into the reopening phases. Otherwise, we'll probably keep it to a segment, Paul, with our rapid fire topics that we have ready for him.
We'll let you steer a little bit here, which we don't usually hand over the reins much, but and here's an instance.
Yeah, use your hashtag DRBill,
and he'll guide us.
We can keep him on for the extra segment to have your questions answered. You interested at all in watching the golf on Sunday on TNT?
I am, but you just told me it's on Sunday, so I've learned that. You just told me it's on TNT. I've learned that. What time is it on?
That I don't know. Yeah. I'm just going to – what I do tonight is I'll scroll ahead and record. This is what I would do with, like, the Last Dance. Right. I just scroll ahead to Sunday and hit record, and that's how I find my shows to watch for the weekend.
Yeah, I recorded the series, but it was kind of appointment listening. A couple times I was late to Last Dance and then watched, but I was watching it live most of the time. I'm curious about it. I think it'll probably be a disappointment. But to hear those four yapping to whatever degree we can, I just don't want them to self-edit, and I think they will. And so
I don't know why they
would.
I don't know why they would. Maybe they self-edit some.
I think they self-edit because I think if they're talking like they talk, some people might find it. It might dent their image. Four guys talking like they'd actually talk on a golf course probably isn't going to fit their family-friendly image, right? Peyton talking like he actually talks versus Peyton talking like he talks on TV.
Sure, but
two separate things, and I want the real thing.
But Peyton, how he talks on TV in a setting like this,
still good, yeah,
is great. Same for Tiger and Phil and Brady. I mean, I don't think I'll be disappointed in it just because of the access and the mic'd up segments and the conversation. Even if it's Tiger giving a tip to Peyton about something on his golf game, I'm intrigued by that.
Here's my thing. Has made for TV golf ever been good? Any of these kind of matches? Now I know this is more a celebrity driven, personality driven. So maybe it's different than anything we've seen before. But when they've done this kind of thing, it usually has come up short of the mark. So my expectations are low. Hopefully it exceeds them, and it'll be good. It'd be a good way to kill 3 hours or four.
It's at 2 o'clock, Paul. 2 o'clock on TNT. And if you can't find TNT, it's on True TV and TBS.
Wow, they're really putting out all the stops. I mean, nobody's finding it on True TV.
So we know that from experience.
I don't know why they're bothering putting it on there. Nobody knows they have
True TV. Through the NCAA tournament. That's always the channel that no one can find.
So now, now I think you would be able to fare better with these remote controls you can talk into. We have two of those on our two main TVs, not in our bedroom TV. But, I mean, if you can press the button and say True TV, then it's on the little person inside the remote to do the work.
It's on the robot. It's on the technology.
I'm sorry. I think of it as a woman. I don't know why. I feel like the voice on the TV is a woman, like Siri is a woman.
Maybe
your TV has
Reed
a voice.
Your face.
Huh?
Your TV has a voice.
It doesn't have a voice, but I picture it operating like Siri. Right.
You talk about all this trouble with finding True TV, but like Impractical Jokers is like one of the most successful television shows out right now. And it's on True TV and everyone finds it.
I haven't watched Impractical Jokers in several years, though I did see a commercial for them having a dinner party. So I think the replays of House that I've been watching lately might be on True TV because I've seen some Impractical Joker advertisements. And I could easily get back into binge watching repeats of House, except they're very long commercials on that channel.
They also isn't Carbonaro Effect on that same show channel?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any new episodes of that in a while, though.
I like that show.
What is that?
So Michael Carbonaro, he's a magician and performance artist,
yeah.
Paul, as you might say. But he sets up like scenes where a woman comes in and she's supposed to be watching some crown jewel at the museum, and like it's all set up like that's her new job. It's day one on the job, and he's the supervisor, and then he can somehow make the crown disappear. While he's standing there with her, he turns around, walks out the door, and without a camera edit, although I'm sure there are, but she's standing there, and there are, seconds go by before she realizes what she was hired to do on day one isn't there. That's the most recent example.
And then she freaks out. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you have the reveal that you're on a magic show. It's that type show, but I think it's well done.
I think Simon might even watch that with me. And he doesn't Simon watch anything with me.
Simon would love it. John McClain will join us today at 1:15. When we come back, Dr. Bill Schaffner with the latest COVID-19 questions and your questions and answers using the hashtag DRBill. Governor Lee signed an executive order yesterday allowing groups of 50 people or less to participate in social activities. We'll speak with Dr. Schaffner about that decision and the optimism he has for reopening the state. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone with Paul Koharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow on furlough. He will be back with us on Tuesday. Some SEC news. The conference will open up campuses on June the 8th. Right in between the dates being discussed, June 1st and June 15th, they will open up in a couple of weeks on June 8th. And with that, we say hello to Dr. Bill Schaffner from Vanderbilt University's Medical Center, world-renowned infectious disease expert. Doctor, hope you're doing well.
Still vertical. You guys are looking good, so we're mushing on here.
Yes, and the optimism continues. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about the potential to begin the reopening phases and how we might see that come about. And yesterday we saw Governor Lee sign an executive order to allow groups of 50 people or less to participate in social activities. That's another step in the right direction.
It is a step in the right direction, and I hope most of those people wear masks most of the time. We can't forget that this virus is still among us. There are plenty of people that this virus can still infect. We're going to have to live with this virus for a while.
Do you still have the opinion that we're headed in the right direction by reopening Tennessee, keeping in mind that those common sense measures of wearing masks and washing your hands?
So far, so good. What I'm concerned about is the concern about social distancing will erode with time. People will simply become more relaxed, and I'm a little worried about that.
Relaxed in the big social settings?
Yeah, especially in the large social settings. You know, people will naturally start to behave the way they did before COVID. And they want to see family. They want to see friends. It's summertime. They'd like to go out together, gather around the pool, and all sorts of things like that, have parties. And the virus may be waiting for those groups so it can spread around.
Seeing some mixed reporting, I guess, about what's going on in China and maybe some other places that where the worst is well behind them about things maybe starting to reemerge. What are you hearing? What's the evidence about those places? Are things largely behind them, or are they seeing reemergence?
It's a little bit plus minus, Paul. It depends on the circumstances and how they're opening up. You mentioned China. China is really testing widely and watching for new cases. And as soon as they find any new case, it's as though they were at the beginning of the outbreak. They're case investigating, contact tracing, and instituting quarantine for those people who test positive in the contacts. So they're really jumping on things.
What about the evidence now about the potential to get it a second time? I feel like we've asked you this every other week or so. Where's the evidence stand now on if you've had it, are you immune to it or not?
Looks so far as though that's the case, that once you get it, you're going to be protected. We don't know for how long. You mentioned second cases. That's also confused a little bit with the information that some people who've had it test negative after they're finished and then may have positive tests again. The CDC now believes that 10 days after you have the onset of infection is the extent of your contagiousness. Even if your test is positive after that, those are, if you will, dead soldiers. Those are viral remnants, pieces of the virus that the test is detecting, and not really live virus. So far, that's good. All of this stuff always subject to new information as it comes along.
If it tests for the dead soldier, so to speak, and not a live virus, does it still count as a positive test on the overall chart?
I think at the moment, once you've tested positive, you get locked in once, but those subsequent tests don't count twice.
What have you noticed from Florida, who's been open now for a week and a half, 2 weeks? I can't remember the exact date. But the last report I read was there have not been significant spikes in coronavirus there.
You don't hear me talking because I'm holding my breath. Florida, Georgia is another one that's opened up rather freely, rather quickly. And so far, they have not seen a spike in cases. And so we're just holding tight. You know, we've talked about this before. There may be a seasonal component to this COVID, like influenza. You know, influenza has disappeared. That's another respiratory virus. Could COVID kind of abate, kind of go into a little summer vacation, and then come back in the fall? And so we may be benefiting from that. We don't know that for sure, but it's certainly a lot discussed.
I see. I'm surprised to hear that the states that have reopened haven't seen the spike. I'm sure you are too, based on the fact that the states that are remain closed or more restricted continue to see some more positive cases than the ones that have just reopened. From a scientific standpoint, what are the reasons? What are the theories as to why that is?
There are two things. One is we're all a little bit confused, but the other is you have to look at who's being tested. For example, here in Tennessee, our health department is now going to test high-risk groups, people in nursing homes, prisons, and other congregate living facilities. You can bet your bottom dollar we'll find more cases, but that's because we're doing targeted testing. So you have to interpret those data carefully.
Dr. Bill Shafter with us. You can tweet hashtag Dr. Bill, and we'll read your questions to the world-renowned infectious disease expert. The discussion about a second wave happening, that we've been discussing that and it continues to go. I know you have told us that you a month or so ago, you expected to see a second wave. Do you still have that opinion that if we do have a second wave, we're not going to have to come back to the quote unquote lockdown scenarios, even if we have the second wave hit?
So the scientific medical part of it is that all of us in infectious diseases and public health think that come this fall, whatever happens this summer, there will be a resurgence of COVID. We think that along with influenza, that's going to cause us problems. Now, you asked the political question. If that happens, would we lock down again? Just speaking as a simple guy here, I think that's very unlikely. The economic hit has been so severe, I can't imagine us locking down again. We would have to just grit our teeth and work our way through that second wave, trying to flatten the curve once again. But I don't think we're going to lock ourselves up.
Dr. Shafter with us here on the Midday 180. The Washington Post had a story last weekend that now, 4 months into the pandemic, we've reached a point as a country where there are more tests available than the amount of people asking to be tested. What does that signal to you?
It's still kind of spotty out there. The desire for testing here in Tennessee after we opened up testing was initially strong and then got reduced. So most of the people who wanted to be tested took advantage of that. And it's quieted down, and that's now allowing our Department of Health to go into those high-risk communities. There are other parts of the country that are still complaining they don't have testing facilities and the results don't come back quickly enough. So we haven't got all this smoothed out yet.
We'll start hitting a couple questions from our listeners. Chris Davenport wants to know how you feel about Little League ball starting as early as next weekend with practices starting tomorrow.
We're doing all this with fingers crossed, bated breath, and wearing a lot of masks. I mean, this is consistent with opening up. The governor said, okay, groups up to 50. That sounds like Little League ball. Let's be careful. Children are less affected. And of course, now we have that footnote. Oops, this new multi-system inflammatory syndrome can occur. So there's no ollie-ollie in free here. Let's do it carefully. Do a lot of hand hygiene and monitor the kids. We don't want sick kids coming to play. So parents ought to monitor for that very carefully.
The CDC changed the way it describes the spread of the virus on surfaces. It used to state that it may be possible, that's the way they phrased it, to spread COVID-19 on any surface. But now it says the virus does not spread easily on surfaces. And you've told us not to worry all that much in the past about wiping down groceries as you come into the home. But the latest info continues to show that the overwhelming majority of cases don't occur from someone touching a countertop or a steering wheel or a food covering, right?
Perfect. That that puts the emphasis exactly where it should be. It's that interpersonal close contact, particularly indoors for more prolonged periods of time. Yes, it's possible to get it from an inanimate object, from surfaces, but that's not a major way of transmission. Interpersonal, those are the big highways of transmission. From surfaces, that's kind of a side street of transmission. Doesn't have the same viral traffic.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us. More of your questions for Dr. Bill coming up in just a moment. You can still get in the queue by using the hashtag DRBill on Twitter or at Midday180. We'll also say this. The learning curve is steep with the coronavirus because there's something new happening at a very fast pace. We'll get Dr. Schaffner's thoughts on something we know about COVID now that we didn't know last week or a month ago. That's next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Another segment with Dr. Bill Schaffner as the tweets keep rolling in using the hashtag DRBill. Paul's about to pick up on the first question of the segment, Doctor. But first, the learning curve is steep with this because it's a new strain of coronavirus. What is something we know now about COVID that we did not know a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago?
I think we're more reassured today that inanimate surfaces are less important. But that still doesn't mean we can stop washing our hands. No, we still have to do that. We're learning more about treatment and the varieties of ways this virus can make us sick. So, as you say, we're learning more every day about this.
J.R. Gillette says, two of my friends are physicians, and they both mentioned to me that everything they've learned in their studies indicates a long-term lowering of immune response associated with wearing masks. What's the truth, and is there efficacy to using masks?
Well, masks are very important, Paul, in preventing transmission from one person to another. I wear the mask to protect you. You wear the mask to protect me, so we're all in this together, protecting each other. I know of exactly no data to suggest that wearing masks in any way impairs your immune system. We do it intensely in healthcare all the time.
The Abbott's ID test, the 15-minute point-of-care testing device, had a reported accuracy rate at some point around 85%, but it's since dropped. I know researchers want all diagnostic tests to have accuracy rates of around at least 95%. What's the likelihood, in your experience, of a diagnostic test for a virus improving its accuracy after trial testing has been done, like a drastic improvement?
We'll probably get, and we're in the process of getting, and we already have, as a matter of fact, more accurate tests available. They're not all as quick as that Abbott test is the hook, but other companies and other investigators are coming up with quick and more accurate tests.
Jimmy says, I had COVID back in February. I quarantined for almost a month. Am I still contagious to an extent? I believe he has a relative that he's looking out for. And as things open back up, again, this is well over a month where he's out of quarantine. Is there still a chance he's contagious?
So here's what the CDC says, and this also is relatively new. They said, from the time of the onset of your symptoms, count 10 days. And after that, you should not be contagious.
Ricky in West End says there have been 15,487 cases under 60 years old in Tennessee with 48 deaths. That's a 0.2% mortality rate. The assumption is a lot more unknown, diagnosed, asymptomatic in that age group. Would you call for a lockdown still with this information in hand back in March?
I don't call for lockdowns. That's a political thing. But that is, even in that age group, a rather high fatality rate. That's not trivial. There are many more asymptomatic and mildly symptomatic cases than people who need hospitalization and are going to die. And that's true in every age group. But with increasing age, the fatality rate increases. At the moment, all of these things are holding steady as we open up across the country, but everybody's watching the numbers.
Ben asked the question, has there been tests performed on airlines? Is it more likely that it spreads easily or easier via the cabin air by traveling? I guess he's saying the air that's flowing into the cabin itself and then recirculating for the entire flight.
So not specific tests, but we know from other infections related to airlines that you are at greatest risk of the people who are in your same row and two rows in front of you and two rows in back, because the airplane recirculates the air in kind of a loaf of bread fashion. You see all those slices, and it's sequential through the airplane. So if I'm in coach, I don't have to worry so much about what's up in first class, for example.
Caroline says, I'm really anxious to do a couple weekends away this summer. Am I being unrealistic in thinking it's a possibility?
People will be traveling this summer. The trick is to do so carefully. Remember, are you traveling by car? Well, you're nicely isolated. Wear your masks when you're out, good hand hygiene, and try to avoid large crowds. That's something we're going to be talking about constantly.
Doctor, there are those who see reports and expect the worst. So I'm asking the expert here that's on with us. The fact that Tennessee is now in phase two of the reopening phase, do you feel like we're in a good position to do that based on the data you've read about our state?
Yes. Steady as she goes, that's perfect. A reasonable decision.
Yeah, and that's reassuring hearing that from you directly. Another question about the CDC with not transferring via surfaces as much. Is this a good sign we may not have a phase two of the virus this fall?
It doesn't have anything to do with phase two, because that interpersonal transmission has always happened, will continue to be the major way this virus is transmitted, and we're going to have to guard against that in order to keep the curve flattened down.
Let's stick with that travel topic for a second. Tourism is such a big industry here. It would seem that for our downtown economy to kind of get back to what we need, expect, hope for, it would include a lot of people coming in on these trips that you were just talking about. Does that increase the danger if we've got we've done such a good job here? We don't know what kind of job people have done elsewhere. And then we're potentially inviting people in from all over the place to come into our downtown where social distanced or not, obviously it would be bringing in people from different areas that have had different success rates.
Of course, that's the big issue. There are parts of Florida that still do not allow tourists to come in from certain states. For just that reason, they continue to be concerned. And there isn't any doubt, Paul, that once people come downtown, they're going to go into bars and restaurants and into stores where they'll be closely intermingling. And maintaining social distancing, maintaining mask wear is not going to be easy. So the more we travel amongst ourselves, the risk goes up. The question is, can we manage that risk, opening up our economy again, balancing with the medical side? We're going to be watching this on a week-by-week basis.
Final question for you from Will. I'm getting the antibody test today. If I have them, would it be safe to be around friends without a mask? We'll still wear to grocery stores and out in public, but specifically friends. I guess he's saying that he's been around friends in the past without a mask. And
yes. Well, we're still a little bit worried about the results of those antibody tests, but let's say you are positive. For sure, you still want to wear the mask going out because the rest of the world doesn't know you're positive, right? And if you're close together with friends and they will tolerate a little bit of risk, sure, you can take off your mask inside.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if you test positive for the antibody test, does that mean you had coronavirus or COVID-19 and you're past the 10-day quarantine phase at that point? Like you're not active, so to speak?
Quick answer is yes.
Okay.
Depends a little bit about the kind of antibody, but the general answer to that question is yes. And we think that antibody is associated with protection. It's something we don't know absolutely, but we think it's pretty likely to be protective.
Final question for me. Let's say we're back in the newspaper era where we all get the physical newspaper and we go a weekend without knowing any news. Dr. Bill Schaffner wraps up with us on a Friday and opens the paper up Monday morning. What data are you looking for immediately with this over the weekend with states reopening?
The most important thing is the number of patients admitted to the hospital with diagnosed coronavirus infection. Those data are the hardest. They're the easiest to interpret. If they're flat or going down, I smile. If they start going up, I frown.
Where are we right now on that?
Flat.
Okay.
We're flat.
Great.
Right. Hey. We're not going down in a sustained way yet, but we're pretty flat.
Thank you so much. We always appreciate the answers that you give to our listeners and to us, of course, and the time that you give to us. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. See you next time, guys.
Okay. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks.
Dr. Bill Schaffner, he's going to be on MSNBC a little bit later. He said a brief visit later this afternoon. Chances are you'll see him on CNN and Fox and all over the place, locally too. He's busy making the rounds for the media requests, and he's always made time for us locally right here on the show.
Yeah, he's been terrific for us. The SEC has made a decision about when things will get going again. I think at least for the athletic element of things, we'll get to that next.
Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Paul, there's news with the SEC. Players will be back on campus June 8th. The SEC gave the go-ahead for athletes to resume on-campus workouts coming up June 8th. So we're, 2 weeks away from that moment?
And it's interestingly the midpoint between what everybody wanted and what Fulmer is the lone abstainer or objector wanted mid-June. And so according to that Kentucky Sports Radio report said, so they come to an agreement in the middle, which seems to make sense. I don't know how much a week one way or the other is going to make a difference, though, I say that, and there have been reports, that if we had shut things down a week earlier, we could have saved a lot more lives. Not comparing this at this stage, but I don't mean to minimize a week because there are stages at which a week on more important issues could have made a big difference. I don't think that's the case now.
Yeah, Mayor Cooper had an extra week based on what the governor put out last week. And so we're a week later. Here we go into phase two for Davidson County as well. So waiting that week gave them enough security based on the numbers they were seeing 2 weeks ago and now this week to move forward with everything.
We should say, I think we've hinted at it, but I don't know if we've come right out. State has done a very good job. State's numbers have been quite good. There have been some nursing homes and some jails where things have gotten unfortunate. But generally speaking, you don't see Tennessee on any of those lists where things have gotten particularly bad. And we're certainly grateful and fortunate for that. And hopefully we maintain that as things reopen and we spread our wings a little bit.
And the vote today through the Southeastern Conference, member institutions allowed to have student athletes back on campus for voluntary workouts starting on that date, June 8th. And it's under, here's the quote, strict supervision of designated university personnel and safety guidelines developed by each institution. So the individual university will come up with the process and the guidelines for this. But the SEC came up with the Return to Activity and Medical Guidance Task Force. And across the board, they've agreed that they're opening June 8th.
And what are we talking, 11 weeks? In terms of football prep you know, and I don't know what the rules are as to how much football you're doing.
It's over 80 days.
Yeah, that's a lot of time.
Yes, but this is a step in the process, the initial step needed to make sure if the goal is to kick off on time, that's what this would point to. And that's what Doug has talked with us about quite a bit. Will Bowling joins us via the magic of Skype.
William.
105thezone.com.
Is your name, in fact, William?
It is.
Good afternoon. I'm David.
I'm a big culprit of the longer name that is short.
Good afternoon. I'm David Reed. SEC chancellors and president have moved
tell
one.
Tell us the latest on the Reed.
Good afternoon. I'm David Reed. SEC chancellors and presidents have moved one step closer in bringing sports back. Yeah, student athletes will be allowed back on campuses beginning June the 8th for voluntary workouts under strict supervision of designated university
it's
personnel
been a big week for the
and
podcast.
Safety.
The May 1st podcast has continued to be a big one with Stephen Godfrey, Positive PK, and Austin Price. That one just over 1,000 listens. John McCree for the month of May so far.
How about Underwood? Underwood with a little uptick, Paul. On the interview with McClain.
I myself haven't heard that one. I need to go and
retweet
that,
that bad boy. Are you kidding
give
me?
Give it a click. Give it a click.
Push that.
I'll push it.
Good stuff. It's good
where
stuff.
Are we for the month? Give us you want us to guess where we are for downloads? I don't know. Paul doesn't know.
I know where we were a week ago.
okay, I don't. what's our average, Will, per month right now?
Average per month is right around 200,000. And I know that's the goal Chad told me last week. I don't know if I can even say his name. I guess I can say his name. I'm joking, of course.
Well, he told me last week, so it's legal.
Yeah, that's right. 200,000 was the goal. That's attainable based on where you guys are right now. That's
so weekly, it's roughly 50,000 listens?
Yeah.
Well, we were at 100,000 on the 15th. So if we come up short of 200,000, we've failed.
So
we do have a holiday in there.
Paul, where do you think we are for this week?
For this week, I would say we're not quite at 50 because we're not quite finished with the week. I would say we're at 40.
You have underestimated the power of the Midday 180. What did you say? Sorry, you cut out for a second.
Over 60?
Right at 60,000 for this week.
Look at us. God, we're a big deal.
Look at us. Who would have thought? Not me.
Thank you, people, for listening, for clicking. God bless you all.
Hit the Eddie George podcast this week, the Javon Curse and Jim Washburn Hour as we had the retrospective of looking back on the rookie season of Javon Curse was awesome. It was a great chat for Paul and I with Javon. We've heard great conversation starters with friends and with listeners over that chat.
How is that one done, Will? I feel like it's not done
well.
That ground.
It's around like the fifth or sixth most listened for the week. Right now, it's Austin Price's Monday visit has over 750 downloads this week already. And hour four with John McClain on Tuesday, kind of rehashing the Javon Curse discussion. That one is that one's done really well this week as well.
A little peek behind the curtain so people don't have to keep tweeting and let us know they heard David Reed. And Reed will get a kick out of this. So in this, whenever this tends to happen, you have to assume that Reed is not on air whenever it's coming through our headset. So we just keep going, even though we can hear him. And his back is to us because they have him doing sports updates now on the opposite side of the room. So we can't get his attention. His phone, of course, is turned on mute because he's recording. And so I'm assuming that it's not on air. Apparently it was, Reed. Your thoughts?
It was bound to happen at some point due to the setup that we're using and the demands that have been placed on this position. I encourage Cumulus leadership to be a leader and get us back in the studio.
There we go. Let's get back into the studio. So Reed,
a little passing of the buck. I mean,
absolutely. It was my fault. It was my fault. I double punched a button here when I thought I was turning something on. I turned it off and then back on. So that was completely my fault. But as Paul has taught me well over the years, deflect when the opportunity presents itself. And it did. So there's my soapbox for the day.
Well, there is your lesson. We never taught you this. We never taught you this, Will, as an intern. We'll teach you this now. When that happens, you got to keep going and just assume that the other party's not on air, even though in this case he was.
Yeah, I learned a lot during my Midday 180 internship, specifically not to drop certain words on the air on videos like other interns did around the time that I was interning. I'll name names. Thank you, the Tennessean, for lowering the bar for interns everywhere. But yes, well, let's just go ahead and add that posthumously, if you will, to my internship knowledge.
There you go. Just keep going. Plow ahead.
Will Bowling is doing excellent work. 1045thezone.com, all the podcasts, all of the numbers, and the hype success of the show's numbers. Will's doing great work with all of that. Reed does tremendous work getting them posted and edited from the studio as well. Guys, thank you. Will, thank you. And we look forward to the update next week. And we're going to be pushing the Eddie George video, the 180 Weekend Watch. You can check that on YouTube and on Facebook Watch this weekend. Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, boys.
Thanks.
You'll get the rest of Reed's sports update when we come back. Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. 104.